Thank you, councillors. I now open the meeting to the public. Due to COVID-19, a limit of 4 members of the public at any one time will be allowed. 7. Deputations. Is the Great Bay Community Centre presentation on grants received? And then we have Karen Matthews on the ground in Palmer Cash, and then Alice Johnson for renewable climate and future industries, Tasmania. Great Bay Community Centre, not here.
Oh, I think it's there.
Oh, can't work. Can you agree? No,
right.
Welcome, Tony. So we're going to 7.1 while we're waiting for the deputations, and that is public question time. So, do you have any questions?
No,
sorry. Tony, I'm sorry, I'm seeing the gallery.
That's
all right. Okay, open your announcement, 8.1, Councillor Commissioner. And then status report, councillors, 8.2 general manager's commitments, 8.3 deputy general manager's commitments, 9 notification of council workshops held on the 31st of May 2022, council budget workshop in Hamilton, 9.1 future workshops, none at this moment, that's correct, then, and then 10 is mayoral announcements. I've got a lovely little card here that I'll read to you. Central Highlands Council. I'm writing to express my gratitude for the sponsorship you gave Draft Camping Tasmania. As a recipient of the first female and third overall presented in the Conference of Membership, I appreciate the financial support of the lovely gift and flask I received. Please pass on my many thanks and our firm's acknowledgement of your kind financial sponsorship. That's sincerely Veronica Hurst.
What was the plan for the Hamilton?
It was the Handcraft in Tasmania.
The Hamilton?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Handcraft in Tasmania Incorporation. So that was lovely. So, I don't think we need to reply to that.
Yes.
Thank you very much, Council. Yeah? 11th is the minutes. 11.1, receive draft minutes, ordinary meeting, 17th of May. Move to close, Councillor O'Connor, seconder. Councillor Bailey, 4, against, carries. 11.2, confirmation of draft minutes, ordinary meeting on the 17th of May. Move, please. Councillor Cassidy, Councillor Honour. 4 against, that is carried. Proceedable draft planning committee meetings. We've got some meetings in that one. Meetings on the 14th of June. Move it, please. Councillor Allard, seconder. Councillor Cassidy. 4 against, that is carried. Business arises. Is number 12. I've not noticed us putting all that information in before. Do we need all that information or do we not?
What we have done before, Mayor, is just put the item number and the comment
by
it. I think our minutes secretary.
Okay. So do we need all this in time or go back to just put the item number? What's your thoughts, Councillor?
I actually don't mind that.
You like it?
Yeah, I think it's good too.
It's a good summary.
Alright.
Yeah.
That's fine.
That's just my opinion.
We are going with 13 Dylan Cashman report, the Dylan Cashman project monthly report we received. Murder for Left Gaffer on a second up. Councillor Cassidy. I saw the report. Any games? Any discussion? I thought he was coming along with it.
Yes, I'd like to move.
She's got COVID. She couldn't come yesterday, but she's
kind of stuff, but I think she came to me yesterday and said, Pete, what's come today, but that she had COVID.
Yeah.
So that, I'm 13.1 there, that's got a policy requirements and a council requirements and a policy that I think we ought to get them to come and talk to us.
13.1 is Central Highlands Council Climate Change Statute and would you like to move a motion that we invite Josie along?
And also they might discuss their projects in the new fund, their forthcoming projects.
So discussion, or update?
We'll update what their proposed weed programs are and what their programs are for and how they're going to help council this year.
Okay, could I have a second of that motion coming to Cassidy? So it's moved by Councillor Horrigh, second by Councillor Cassidy. Okay, so what would that motion read, please, gentlemen?
Defer discussion on the climate change policy and invite Dr. Kelman to the next council meeting to provide an update on what the
policy.
Yeah, they can do
talk to their policy.
Climate change policy and update as well.
So that was moved by Councillor Horrigh, second by Councillor Cassidy. Those four against, that is carried. Councillor Cassidy, has
any questions? I guess in addition to Jim's comment, can we invite somebody along that could discuss or perhaps discuss about implementing charging stations for electric vehicles? Perhaps to have something in either Lewis Hamilton, maybe one here in Bothwell and up at Miami.
Would that be something that the deputy manager could look at?
Well, yeah, that wouldn't be appropriate for the...
Well, and we're talking about climate change and electric vehicles and all that stuff.
We have passed the application for one of the booths.
Mm.
There is one at Durham Bridge.
Yeah.
I don't know whether there's any discussion about having one here.
So can we just leave that with the deputy general manager? What are you asking, actually, so we can get some idea of what to ask the deputy general manager?
Well, maybe I'll put something up, maybe next council. I'll just put a motion for agenda for next council meeting.
Next council meeting?
Just to get charging stations maybe on this side of this town, and we're here in Buffalo, not up in Miami.
Adam?
Funding would be available to Bothwell if we wanted to get them. And the arguments are made between there is a charging station, I believe, in Kempton, and they're looking at putting one in Mahina, and there's no requirement to one out of Bothwell or Hamilton. We've got one of those as well, there's one in Norfolk, and there's one in Bridge, so we're going to be still.
Mayor, I approached a couple of energy providers to see what their attitude was to the floods, and apparently they don't compete with one another. The firm A decides to put one in at Tarralea, it becomes uneconomic for firm B to put one in within a certain radius, and that might be what's actually causing what Adam's suggesting.
Generate that in Lombo and then into Hobart. they were two providers, both on wind and sea of bulk of the country.
Okay. Well, it's a bit like going back to a horse, isn't it? You can only go so far.
Yeah,
I'm trying to use the horse up and off we go. All right, thank you. 14 is the financial report. Where is that? Councillor Bailey, Councillor Campbell. Any comments on the finance report? That you read it all?
Well, we talk about the. Can you explain a little bit about the AAPs?
Let's go on to the item when we.
When it's out.
When whatever the item number is,
okay.
When we do the rates.
Okay,
well, just in form. I noticed that in Capital Works, is that where we're discussing the Capital Works? Is it a box right at the bottom of the financial report? Or is that the budget? I'm just not sure now.
In this first part, that's what's been extended.
Yeah,
the budget is a separate document.
Yeah. Yeah. That was one I was reading last night, and I'm wrong.
Okay. What's DEV? I mean, I know it's developing environmental.
Developing environmental.
What is it? Because there's a lot of figures, and I don't actually know what it is.
Well, where are you looking,
Councillor? Well, say total capital works, DEV and environmental services is. I'll say department total operating expense. Development and environmental services. I just don't know what it is. So
development environmental services is building health planning, and there's animal control, and waste. So that's the office, that's this office here at Hospital. That's what we call development environmental services.
I was just trying to break it down to see what it really was.
Yeah.
Would you like a chair or stand or what's your choice? $187,000 in kind, which we already have $70,000 of that.
So I've got that a little bit wrong.
So all up, we have 951,280.
Okay, that's a good project. Yeah. That's a good project.
So, the committee for this, the development committee, that will meet once a month. I would like to know if you would borrow a plan to be the road between us and you. What?
Did you say borrow a road?
Borrow a road. If that's possible, basically say, so if we come to an obstacle, we have to run in there, we know how to solve it, and how to relay things back to more professionals than I am. If you could.
Well, they need a building report, so we need to do that. But you'd also be in the building.
Oh, yes. So, yes. So, I think our opening is. So, the council is then also as well, so. So we are nearly up to the stage now where we will be putting in our training from the surveyor and the surveyor, and then our plan will be coming in. So we will hopefully everything works well, and we will get it together. We should be breaking ground by November. And our contractors have said that they will probably have a stock up today by April this year. The other thing I want to say is this is a community organ. The hall itself is not going to have any small garden beds in Australia to grow things like parks and things. The rest of it is the community. So the community, we've got 20 to 25 dedicated gardens. Then we've got a whole heap of friends of the garden. And then we've got the general public. It's estimated at the stage, depending on the motions of the band and the motions of the here, with the blank right there, it shouldn't cost any more than $400 a year to run the micro. So therefore, our rate is our food cheap, right, and so hopefully we can have help here. The background we want to do up. The place is coming up with $20. The second is Tree Point, the one that Eco Living, but it's by Anthony. But we also want to make it so that debt can become like a household issue. So we're going to move to barbecue. Just move it. One is, we're getting our lunch, so I just do a couple of payments. We've got a toy that's going to cut into the shop wall, so people can actually take their vegetables and bring them in and show everyone what they do with 10,000 pennies or whatever they want. So that's it.
That is very good. Thank you. Thank you for all that information. Is there any councillors have any questions in regard to that? Yes, Councillor Cassidy.
I just meant when will you present this for planning?
Well, thank you.
When will you present this for planning? Is it going to come to
when will you present it to council? Is that what you're saying?
Yes,
when will you put it into the book?
Oh, as soon as the surveyors meet, make sure we inform the right way. And also, once the soil test is done, the head engineer will then put the building plan in.
Yep, thank you.
General Manager.
Tony and Linda, council had a discussion about a particular item this morning.
General, I can't hear you.
Do you want me to?
Councillor Cameron, please.
The council had a discussion this morning in regard to defibrillators in general, but in particular at the Great Lake, and it's come to our attention that there needs to be one accessible 24/7 up at near Myena somewhere, and we are proposing that if council was to purchase a suitable weather-appropriate cabinet for the external part of the Great Lake Community Centre, would you be happy to put the defibrillator you've got inside in that cabinet?
No, we can't. So when we got our defibrillator, we went through all this. And it's not the defibrillator itself that's like our defibrillator going down to minus or whatever. It's the pad. If the pad's free, you won't know. You won't put them on somebody. It'll be back and say everything's okay. So even when you put a light in there to try and keep it above zero, they will not guarantee that the pad is not free.
And we've had confirmation from this from the firm that we bought the defibrillator off. And at the end of the day, they said they wouldn't guarantee it and said don't put it outside. Because the only place that we could put it is in the front entrance, before the front doors in that area, which doesn't see sunlight at all through the winter. So I know I personally wouldn't want the machine, I wouldn't want my light depending on if it was going to work or not.
That's okay. So there is one at Arthur's Lake that is available 24/7. That must be in a cabinet that is suitable because there is one there. So if we were to find out what that is, can we install the same one they've got at Arthur's Lake on the community centre outside?
As in you're buying a defibrillator?
Yeah.
No, we've been just transferring one that's there.
The one that's there, if we
will look
in,
we'll look into it a bit more.
But we've been through this, and it won't matter what we do. They will not guarantee that the pad, that's why they went out.
Yeah.
Because we can't guarantee that the pad, we both know that it'll be broken. If they freeze, then they're dead wrong. Nobody knows. And if you go and we lost somebody, and you try to defibrillate, the machine will tell you everything you want to know, but it won't tell you whether they're frozen. And if they've been frozen, they won't work.
Councillor Archer.
Mia, we've got thermostats in our pump shed, very low voltage heaters to stop our water pumps freezing. Can I suggest that council investigate the potential to put a heating source in a suitable panel so that we can still have it easily accessible to the community? We've got power already on at the community centre, and that might overcome the problem. And I agree with exactly what you're saying. You need to make sure it's fit for purpose. And if that's simply providing an adequate heat source that will solve the problem, would that be acceptable to you if council were able to do that? In our pump sheds, for instance, which have got a thermostat that comes on when the temperature drops to 3 degrees, when you get the buzzer, it goes out. And that's just sufficient to stop the pumps freezing. You only get to -8, nothing like what you get, but still sufficient for water to freeze. And I think what we could do is just install a small heating device, generally a lamp in our case, but we'll put a device on that, and to make it fit for purpose, but so the community can access it. But that would be an acceptable solution.
We can't resist that. I would recommend maybe if you show us, and then you can see, or even take it back to the manufacturers, just to check. But there is a defibrillator machine, which unfortunately Apple was called out. There's also a defibrillator fire truck. There's also a defibrillator in the back of the police car. And there's a couple at, I know, Devonport. Whitefish have also got one. Devonport Whitefish has got one. Yeah, they've got one, and there's another one that's got one. Clark has got one.
Great. That's really good. And we'd like to make the one at the community centre accessible if you have no objection.
You can make it safe. Oh,
absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, I don't have an issue. But if anything goes, it's going to be safe.
Let's cross that.
But it's like that 3,500 every time you have it come to the board office.
I don't think you put a price on life, so I think we've talked about it, about the ones that we've put around the community, the two offices here have got security on them, and it gets pretty cold down here as well.
Yep.
So the chances of it getting stolen are very slim.
And just while we're at it, I know we can't put a price on the plant, etc., you know, for a while. But when you think about it, it's an awful lot of songs that we have to put, and we're on our third set. So would the council be interested in...
Guaranteed.
There's the community grant that you can apply for them.
Okay. So someone...
Can you explain how to do the third set? You mean you had two... I'm sorry about these jolly masks. Have you had two stolen already? Is that what you suggested?
No, we can use it twice now.
Oh, I see. Yeah. So it's only potentially replacing off the whole...
Yeah.
And if there is an ongoing cost, for instance, of replacing those pads, this year it might be $600. It would be sensible, I suggest, to write to council and say council will assist you with that. It's a community benefit.
Yeah.
And so, to me, it seems unreasonable you're wearing that cost for the community. And council will certainly consider an application that was submitted.
The other thing, too, because I'm not from that time, during the election, we had a sausage sizzle out front, and everybody that was there, part of the community centre, etc., tried to keep everybody off the concrete because it was just dangerous. So they made everybody go up on the right side, they would put that out to get into the door. We had two sizzles anyway, one they called an ambulance for, and the other one left. The other one called the ambulance by the time the ambulance got there, he'd got up and gone too. So we need something to make sure that the concrete doesn't get that bad. And out of just incentive, so on that day, we needed some more mats or something to get concrete. And we raced out the back and we got this stuff that was given to us for the Easter garden, and it's grass. That has been absolutely fantastic. Mm-hmm. It freezes because it's got a cushioning on it, it breaks it, but it's still got traction on it. Could the council look into something like that? But the only problem is every time there's a breeze blowing away, we have to put it back.
So I think the good thing is we can handle that the general manager to get the appropriate managers to the investigator and check that up for you and ensure the cover to the bid that will be in council's hands as well. Just for
Yes, Leon, thanks very much for bringing that to council's attention. Yeah. But you can imagine, we're unaware of this issue too, but the appropriate process that we've discussed is this is our problem, this is the suggested solution. Would you consider giving some financial assistance towards it? So we've got grants to help with those things, and it's great that you've made us aware of it. Thanks very much for doing
that. There's one
behind
the hall in the car park.
Can I just finish?
Yep.
The appropriate process is to write to council and just request assistance in those areas, and that would be very helpful to us.
Right. Thank you. John, was it the can John just finish quickly with the
Main Street area. Okay, welcome John. Would you like to discuss something with us? Yeah. Okay. My name's John Cox, and I retired to the Central Highlands 5 years ago. My wife and I are both retired. My wife spent 16 years with Wildberg in Montessori, caring for people with disabilities, and we both retired and moved to the Central Highlands. But in saying that, my wife was in CIA with Wildberg, and they had a mentor in Georgetown. They started off as a mentor, but they ended up as a community. And there was more women to go on that ship than what they were men. But along with the retirement, my wife and I were both moved up, and along came this roughly $50,000 worth of machinery, which came out of an in-shed at Georgetown. And we explored up to the Central Highlands Council of Central Highlands and installed in a 40-foot container. We approached the community centre and we verbally come out with a contract for 2 years to for the community centre to start a new shed. They can have this roughly $50,000 worth of machinery. So within that Icon committee with the community centre and now we've started to push forward with a men's shed, which we've come a long way in the last 12 months. I can't believe it's happened that quick, but anyway, the story of it is, here we are now presenting the planning of it for this to go ahead. And the main reason I'm really here is just the search going ahead.
Very good, so you're in support.
Well, I would appreciate the council's support, and that's about all I can do.
Thank you very much, that's great, and it's great to see another one here. Very good. Councillor Bowen, you had your
hand up? Oh, no, I was just clapping.
Well done, and we wish you all the best, and the community centre is doing a wonderful job as well. Thank you very much. So we had a hydrant had. Is there any hydrant out here?
Thank you. So that's why we're keen to update them now where we're at, and that will take you on that journey over the next couple of years as we do the detail of the redevelopment of the whole scheme. But there's sort of two parts to it. One is a lot of technical and economic work to make a final investment decision. The other part of it is that we're about to start, within months, quite a significant package of upgrade work on the existing scheme. So it's about $100 million we're planning to spend on that scheme over the next couple of years. And that's to help get it ready for a future redevelopment. So we want to describe a little bit about what that looks like and give you the heads up on sort of everything we do, particularly on the site over the coming years. So that's just a bit of an introduction. I was going to hand it over to Donna to take you through a little more detail on these couple of things and open up any questions you might have.
Thank you. Hi everyone, I'm Donna. Can you hear me okay?
Still battling. Up the volume.
So I'm Donna, and I know we've only got a really short amount of time today, and there's a lot of detail in this project that we won't go into, but I guess we're here to say that this project's been quite uncertain, and we've been to council a couple of times over the years, and now we do have the certainty that the project for the next 2 years is proceeding with more confidence and funding. And I guess we want to find out from council what is the best way to engage council in the process, get feedback. We can't do all of that today, but we're very keen to see council, you know, be involved and play a role, because we can see it's a really big opportunity for the region with a lot of investment and opportunity to leverage that for the community. And we've been working with Louisa on some of the planning issues and Graham on some of the engineering issues. And I guess our big message is that we're really keen to work with council. We know we've been coming and going the last couple of years and it's been uncertain, but there's a bigger commitment now for the work that's happening. It's hard for you to see the map that's up there, but I think you're probably all familiar with the Tarralea scheme. It's basically from Lake King William to Tarralea, a system of water conveyances to the power station. And as Paul said, two things that are happening. One is that we're looking at whether we can redevelop the whole scheme, which is about a $750 million investment in the region. And over the next 2 years, we'll be doing the assessment community consultation for that piece of work for the decision that will happen in 2 years' time. But in the meantime, we're also starting to build replacement conveyances for the existing scheme. And that will happen anyway, whether the redevelopment goes ahead or not. And that means some construction activity starting this July or August at Lake King William and some other parts of the scheme. Can I just go to the next slide, right? Oh, I'm sorry that you can't see these images very well, but what that's showing a model of what the new power station would look like. So it's basically a whole new power station across the river from the existing Tungatang power station. That would be the new Tarralea power station, and it would be replacing the existing power station with a whole new set of conveyances from Lake Kimberley, which would include tunnels and above ground pipelines. Okay, I know you can't read that, but basically with the work I'm talking about where we are actually getting on and starting construction, that is starting at Lake King William this winter and over the next couple of years, where we're building a new intake in the Lick Bay next to Clark Dam. And if you click, there's a picture of Lake King William. So Paul can point to you.
Yes. As I'm talking about this area, where we're looking to build a new intake structure right on the shore of Lake Kimberley. That's where the existing power station in there is, in there, and we're just right next to where the expanding is at Lake Kimberley.
We could go into a lot of detail about this scheme, but we don't really have the time today. But we'll just, in this photo, you can see on the right-hand side there, before you can point to where Clark Dam is, if you're familiar with Clark Dam, and this bay to the left of that, thanks, Rach, if you go that way now, that is where there's going to be construction starting this in the coming months. Subject to a permit from the Aboriginal Heritage Tasmania that we're working through at the moment to basically build a new approach channel and eventually a new intake that will lead into a tunnel and a new conveyance system. And as I mentioned, that's the work that will be happening anyway, even to replace the number one canal, which is an ageing asset of the existing scheme, regardless of whether we rebuild it or not.
So you turn that into a pipeline?
Yeah, so this goes into a 1 kilometre tunnel, but then comes up again and goes into a pipeline and then into another tunnel.
But in essence, what you'd be doing is replacing the existing channel with a pipeline. Is that what you're proposing for this section?
Yeah, so it's an alternative to the number one canal and part of the number one two canal. Yeah.
There's two canals at the moment being water from. Ultimately, they will all be replaced with a new pipeline and tunnel arrangement. But that decision to replace the whole lot won't be made until another 2 years. What we are doing right now is starting some preparation for that future. With a new intake there and a short tunnel through the hillside.
I thought the project was aimed because Tarralea was worn out, right? And you can't sort of meet the quick line off with the new power system needs. But if the numbers don't add up, you've got this new canal, new pipeline, and what are you going to do with Tarralea? Because it's already worn out.
The numbers don't add up. Worst case, if we don't end up rebuilding the scheme, what we have to do then is upgrade the existing scheme. And that will mean upgrade Tarralea, which would need to put new turbines and generators into Tarralea.
So you'll still need that new pipeline.
And eventually, we have to replace that anyway.
Yeah, those two canals. Yeah.
So all this will go on and we have to be done anyway.
Paul, how much shall we do fast either to upgrade the Tarralea, to put the new turbines and so forth?
Yeah, so if we upgrade the entire system, new turbines and generators and power station, upgrade towers and replaceable pipelines, all of that work would take place over about 20 years and would cost about $580. So that's one of the advantages. Rather than spending $580 million and still have an old scheme that does the same thing that apparently does, we can put a bit of extra money into it and get a completely new scheme that's much more flexible and much better suited to where the future market is.
So then, let's say, for example, if you bring in a new scheme. And are you going to decommission Tarralea then, the power station? And what are you going to do about maybe a museum out of it or something like that?
So ultimately, the existing station would be decommissioned if we redevelop it with a new power station. Part of this will be to develop a heritage management plan for the existing station. We've got no plan to demolish it or anything like that. We haven't decided what use it could actually.
And we, as part of going through the process of redevelopment and getting approvals, we'll consult with community heritage stakeholders because we know there's huge community ownership of the heritage in the area and the power station and a lot of opportunity there. So that's an example of one of the things we would consult with to come up with a future plan for the power station.
Personally, I think about how it will affect local township, if you will, Carolina, and also Joaquin, and those assets there, you know, I think could be exploited, you know.
So we,
we will have people during construction has a significant consideration of impact on the town of Village, and not only the town of Village, but the wife and other needs in that area. We're expecting to fully redevelop a peak construction workforce of about 200. So that's significantly more than the capacity of the existing town of Village. So we need to have some sort of construction workforce around.
We've started a process of talking to council about that. So we met with Ian and Brown a few weeks ago to discuss the Whiteton Village and talking to Louisa as well, and looking at what's the best solution for workforce accommodation that would also help with local infrastructure and, you know, leave a long-term benefit in the community as well, and to try and reduce impacts associated with that. So I guess another example of something that council is really interested in, and there's opportunity for us to collaborate on that.
Thank you very much. We'll leave the floor to Anna and Rachel.
Thank you all.
Thank you very much. And we'll hope to have you come in regularly and give us an update.
Yeah. I'd like to finish by saying that we'd like to invite council, if you're interested, for a field visit, and we can take a group to the field and talk you through the scheme and get into a bit more detail. If there's interest in doing that, just let me know.
Victoria. So Rick's been tasked with realising the government's ambitious agenda in that space, and under any future scenario, whether it's just whether we get new interconnectors to the mainland, whether we introduce new industries like hydrogen production, or whether it's just organic growth in the network, what we do know is we're going to need new generation in the state in the years to come. So just a bit of a recap, and I'm happy for you to tell me to get early stuff before I'm moving along, if you like. But so the government's renewable energy vision, essentially we reached 100% net renewables a couple of years ago with the commissioning of 2 new wind farms, one in Yorkshire, here at Taylor Hill, and one over Cranbourne Harbour. So on any given day, the main energy needs can be provided by entire renewable resources. The government then legislated a commitment to move to 200% of the then demand in the state by 2040. Essentially, that vision would see new demands either coming from online or low through things like hydrogen production or new data centres, or through providing supply across interconnectors into the national electricity market. As we've got there, so more interconnection is needed to help that process. We've obviously heard the Mariners Link, and that's really an enabler for growth of new renewables, further wind farms, the hydro-vaccination projects that the guys have been talking about, and the utilisation of those hydro assets differently in terms of that ability to dispatch into the market when it's needed. Obviously, there's interest across the state in various areas around sort of wind and solar generation, and a lot of the plans coming to Tasmania in hydrogen space, knowing already that there is a 100% renewable electricity available, and seeing the leverage of that in terms of production of green hydrogen. Green hydrogen, obviously, it's an emerging market, something utilised extensively across the world, but everyone's starting to look at it and knowing that we need to move to renewable sources. To make hydrogen, you need electricity sources, renewables, and the water source. So we think that hydrogen has some abundance. However, we need more of those things. This vision is going to be still there. That's just, I guess, a bit of an overview. The government aims more renewable generation on the island, the climate opportunities that come from those, and then helping the national story in terms of transitioning national electricity market and reducing emissions in the energy generation fleet. So we did a bit of market research about the end of last year to understand a little bit about the minister's really keen to do an education campaign out amongst communities to sort of provide a better understanding of what the benefits of this vision might be. And we sort of said, well, look, you know, I understand that you think there are great job opportunities, supply chain opportunities for local businesses, but that's not the only thing that people are interested in renewables for. In fact, some people aren't aware of it. So we need to find out a little bit about what they do think. And what sort of came out was that probably 2 out of 5 people had a reasonable understanding of renewables and what they are, what benefits they can play. Some of the messages were, I guess, we understand renewables, we like renewables, but I still don't really understand where the value is exported to the mainland, and in fact, why should I have to do it in my backyard? That sort of space information gives us an understanding of what sort of issues are out there in the communities, but at quite a high level. And as we go through the presentation, we'll be able to sort of outline to you some of the next steps in terms of engaging with the communities.
Do you think it'd be a different response if the survey was taken today, given that the Minister's announced that delinkage is not taking place any further from the national grid, looking at power prices and the way they've been driven by shortages of gas, I think you might get a very different response from the domain consumer than what's being proposed here in today's market.
Yeah, look, very interesting question. It may, obviously those issues have come into sharper relief in the last couple of weeks, and while some of that is driven by international conditions, it is reflective of a worldwide trend there towards to move away from those carbon technologies. So what we know is that Tasmania does have a really good resource for renewables, and it has the ability to put down pressure on prices in the national market and indeed locally from higher proliferation price. So what the market needs to find is the right mix of technologies that for when those coal-fired plants transition out, can we replace them? And I think there is probably acceptance nationally from Tasmania in those mainland jurisdictions that comes with building new infrastructure to help support it. So the grid needs strengthening, there need new transmission lines, and that's where these renewable energy zones have basically been termed that seeking to do that at the least cost. So pick an area where there is really quite good resource, wind resource, where there's support from the local community to essentially build a new industry. And if you can do that and you can coordinate the build out, it means less transmission infrastructure back to the load centers or where the full supply is going to. So yes, Tasmania obviously in a different space. We've got an existing fleet of generation. As the guy said, over time they do have to be renewed as well, so there's no getting away from spending money in our network, all of our hydro assets built in the 60s, 70s, so they're coming to the main renewables. So there will be pressure on the main as well in that space, but we're not having to close down a fleet of existing generation and transition to something completely different with a very dispersed generation fleet rather than these sort of really quite consolidated coal-fired plants. So essentially the plan that the government put out for the renewable energy coordination framework was released in April of this year. It's got 11 different actions that it sets out to set the landscape, if you like, for growth in the renewable sector. The first of those is the role that our agency and our network will play, which is to be a sort of GRES coordinator and planner. The minister is actually going to be at the main energy development conference up in Devonport tomorrow with announcing the details of this role, but essentially it's renewable energy zone coordination role is to take what has been identified at the national level, so the Australian Energy Market Operator, you've probably heard about this week, we sort of taking control of the market and making sure that there's enough generation online for everyone. They've selected two priority renewable energy zones. One happens to be in your area, the central region, one's in the northwest. And they've also identified two others, one in the northeast and then an offshore renewable energy zone. Essentially, what they're saying is from a technical point of view, there's really good resource in those areas. There is some good hosting capacity in the transmission network, which makes them, from a purely technical point of view, good places to think about building more renewables. However, we know that that's not the end of the story. There are many other values that are important to people, whether they be overlaps with mining, mining agricultural land, tourism interests. So what the state's committed to do is to look at and declare by the end of this year a first renewable energy zone. So looking at those candidate red areas and saying, well, which of those are not only good resources, which of them have community support or a degree of which of them have the least conflict and overlap with other uses and coexist. So that's the process of working over the next 6 months to kind of get to that point. So we last week we announced the registration image process, the government announced the registration image process to understand we know there's a degree of interest in terms of existing people wanting to generate new electricity in Tasmania, whether it be wind, solar, or even some batteries, having batteries. Whereabouts are they geographically located? What are their timelines? And how can we take it forward on if they want to, or for good? And we're also asked for people to respond in terms of where they would like to set up new energy intensive industries, let's say these data centers or existing major industrials we now want to expand based on their green credential. So that'll give us an understanding of ground truth and who's out there and in which areas of the state, because that interest is obviously relevant, not just is there a resource there, but do people actually want to be there and take projects forward. We've got a scenario planning exercise for doing the TAS networks, which is in more detail of the transmission network, where that hosting capacity is, where they have ability to. So, for example, just speaking to you the other day, there's a line not too far from here that it's got a conductor on one side of it, but not on the other. They could use that side of the tower to cut in and provide new wind farms, solar farms, we believe. Those sorts of opportunities to look around the network for and to see where they are going after the resource. Probably the most interesting, I think the reason why we were kind of mostly asked along today is we're doing a piece of work which is really a, what we're calling a spatial analysis. And it takes, think of that of Tasmania, and then overlaying various land uses on it, whether it be crown land, forestry, primary agricultural land, various reserves, or heritage areas, including the wind resource over the top, and then other values like this heritage, Aboriginal heritage. And trying to then say, well, if we sort of rate those layers from 1 to 5, where 5 is not here, it's not a great place for that we want things because of, well, that's the heritage example, but really important heritage asset in the area. We don't want that to have any sort of coming into conflict with it. 3 to 1, which is we would be quite happy to have renewable resources co-located. We're basically trying to come up with a heat map, if you like, of areas around the state where there might be the least overlap, the most ability to coexist new renewables with existing uses. So, as I said, we're looking at those, particularly in those areas with the wind resource, and that makes sense to us in particular. And so there'll be all those sort of things feeding in, the register of interest, the scenario and spatial analysis. And then we've got the engagement process with communities that I think our CEO might be on their way to see the different manager in the next couple of weeks, doing a trip around the relevant council, so we've got our invites a little bit early, but to kick off that process and talk to you about the engagement plan communities over the next 6 months. Essentially, we're kind of, I think we'll probably look to set up some community reference groups, might have representatives from council, from business community around the area, to understand their views around further renewables in this part of the world. We'll be doing that in other areas of the state, the northwest, the northeast, and then. Essentially, I think the process will follow that by about October, which should have been up to the first part of the where, which areas does this have to support, which areas doesn't it, and the minister will be then asked, I guess, various hats on it, government is both portfolios in agriculture, portfolios in energy and mining, to make a determination as to which one of those areas makes the most sense to take forward as the first.
Thank you so much, Stuart. Is there any councillor questions?
Yes, sir. I think you would agree that the various schemes that you have, they have a very, very large footprint on the ground. Whether they're solar panels or wind turbines and so forth. And it's not very efficient. And it's not very efficient, I think, planning-wise. You know, you might be aware that Australia produces one-third of the world's uranium. We could have one nuclear power plant, it would power all of Tasmania in one location. And it's infinitely, infinitely renewable. But the government, whether the state government or the Commonwealth, they're not very forward thinking at all. And the technology now in nuclear energy is extremely safe. You could plug in one of the future nuclear cells in Tasmania and power the state for more than ever. You don't need all this other bullshit.
Okay, Councillor Ryan and Deputy General Manager has something.
Two questions if I can get them out. Wing Farm, if we've got one here, which would be aware of, actually quite contentious in the landscape. I struck me to hear exactly what you said under the mask, but is there any way your department can help council? We've got one here, and a lot of the, or a number of representations with regard to a new planning scheme suggested some landscape protection or visual protection. So have you got any way that you can help us with doing that if council decided to go down that path with some landscape protection analysis or how that works?
So we don't have any sort of authority in the planning space.
I understand.
We don't have any authority in the planning space, but what we do have is the ability, I think, when we get to this sort of next cut off of which of the renewable energy zones makes the most sense, if it turned out to be in the central region, then I think what we could do would be to look at some visual impact analysis to see, okay, from a, this is an area of interest, an area where more renewables could occur. Within the area, are there parts of the visual landscape that we don't want to impact on? And that could be used, we add that to the sort of spatial analysis, and then as you come up with more detailed design around transmission corridors and siting of wind farms to keep away from the areas of most.
It's probably too late for this one here now, but that was probably the intent of the representations we had, or the ones around the issue. The next one is another contentious one. Because council's got to manage a lot of the issues long term with regard to wind farm and probably solar as well, but they aren't rateable. So where can we move that discussion? Council can't get rates off the value of the wind farm. We can only rate the land as farming land.
Right.
But we've got to manage that sort of a landscape, or not so much a land, but a planning issues around that for 25, 30 years. So we can't get rates off it. So where do we take that? Can you help us deal with that?
I think that would be the local government division we can do.
Well, yeah, I know, but you're in the Premier's department, aren't you?
No, we're in the Department of Treasury Finance.
Sorry?
Department of Treasury and Finance.
Well, he still deals with a big checkbook.
It's a case in Victoria where the value of general valued the wind farm, but because of the lease on the wind farm, there was some technicality in there where you couldn't actually put a value on and rate
the
wind farms. It went through the whole court process, so the Tasmanian.
The court didn't recognise the
permanent approval. Why put that in order if it's going to cost $1,000 to go through that process?
Sure.
Can I just hear the first second of the general manager have something to say?
Yeah, I guess the next item we have is the extending of the council rate resolution. We have a lovely renewable energy project that was completed in the Central Highlands that benefits Australia and our community at the cost. And that money that's being generated is going overseas to foreign ownership. And those foreign ownership people are being subsidised by all the primary producers, all the businesses within this municipality, and all the ratepayers in this municipality, because they're not contributing in any way to infrastructure within this municipality, and they're taking, reducing the landscape, reducing the history of the area, and, the Aboriginal culture and everything, and not giving back or paying their own way. And I guess that's where our Deputy Mayor is saying that it's fine to build such infrastructure. We could see up to 20 to 50 wind farms and solar farms within the Central Highlands, because we are in the centre of the grid, and what a moment is the crossroads of the centre of the grid. So you can see, maybe 50% of the Central Islands turning into this wind generation that the ratepayer will have to pay for. No other ratepayer has had money, the ratepayers of this municipality have to pay for. It's going to benefit all the people in Australia, and it's going to help foreign ownership make more money and help those shareholders of that company. I guess that's where we need support of the federal and the state government, support local government across Australia to say that we need this infrastructure, that they need to pay to run the way.
Thank you. And I'm not sure I'm here at the House of Raising, and I can't talk to you about where, yes, the fact that I respect this raising, I don't know if I should even do that. And what I will say is that most, if not all, of these plans provide their own community benefits, so they do need some of that. And we've got a community engagement structure for procurement and benefit sharing guidelines in development with the government, hopefully, releasing in the coming weeks. And that will set out in detail expectations about what is expected in the proposed approach in terms of those community benefit settings, rates, dollars per megawatt of energy produced that they should be back into the community. Also, how they are expected to engage with local industry and local businesses to ensure the best supply chain inputs and local procurement benefits. So there is an avenue to provide back to the community through those community benefit schemes and the arrangement they put in place to impact the property owners, but their issue of raising is not one that I at this point have any readings over. So I can take that up on board and I can find the right place, the right home in the state government to provide you some advice on that.
And I guess the best way is to talk to another one of your own department, which is the state government, which is the evaluation. Attorney General, the Evaluation Department, he can tell you why they're unable and why they won't provide that information to councillors to say that we can explain it.
Then I see a rule that sets that down. So, what was in the change?
Well, sorry, Stuart, thank you so much.
area have always worn the white metal. Pink hours that are camouflage colors sort of blend into the landscape, especially from quite some distance. We don't necessarily need to paint white hours or something, of course. That's question one. The second question I have is, throughout Europe where they have wind farms, these are light-limited components. The blades are light-limited, it's a piece of the power, it's a concrete pad and so forth. But that stuff litters the landscape in Europe when they're done with it, because they can't haul them back out. So I think we need to find out when they breach their lifespan, what are they going to do with it? I just don't think it's acceptable to litter our landscape with that rubbish.
So I think we should find out
again, Stuart, thank you. I have to be rude and finish now, but I would like to invite you back again sometime soon.
Of course, thank you.
Thank you, thank you very much.
We'll keep up the dialogue.
Yes, thank you.
I'm just going to give an update on the local provision. Will you give your update in after planning? Yes.
That's why we're doing that again. Yep. Could I maybe go back to the agenda 14.2, please?
Yes.
Councillor Cassidy, Councillor Bailey, Paul, James, Kate. Council Act Resolution 2022-23, the following rates of resolution has been prepared for adoption. The council by absolute majority adopts the following rates.
Separate councillors know that this rates resolution has ticked up to 4.8% of the single council budget.
4.8% of the single council budget, or two budget meetings.
Just back in here, yes, right?
This was discussed in two budget meetings, that is 4.8. It was discussed in length, to say, for better words. We were looking at 8.5, I believe, and council has agreed on 4.8. So the recommendation, the council, by absolute majority, adopt the following rates resolution. Could I move it, please? Councillor Campbell, second to Councillor Bailey.
Can we talk on it?
No, that was to be, I'm sorry, Councillor Bailey, but that was to be discovered in the two budget meetings.
This has occurred today, and we didn't have the benefit of that when we talked about how to change.
That is what handed out at the valuation.
This is what it's worked out in the AAP.
Excuse me, it's not a question. That's the Daniel General's presentation last week. All councillors were given an invite to that, and I did send a reminder out by email. One councillor turned up, and that was Councillor Allwright. This explains we had a rebound with it to take effect from the 1st of July for rating purposes. It explains the variation across the municipalities in the values. So when we say rates have gone up 4.8%, we say 4.8% of the general rate. So we looked at what last year's general rate was, and we increased it by 4.8%. Now, that spread across how that gets to your rates is 50% is spread evenly across all of the properties. So there's a fixed charge on all of the properties, which comprises 50% of our rate. The other 50% is charged on your AAV. So there's two components to our rating. It will vary across the municipality because of the variation in the valuation. There'll be ups and downs all over. There's nothing we can do about that. If we had a 0% rate increase, it would still be the same issue.
Councillor Allwright and Cassidy, and then I'm putting
I think Lynn covered this. Could you?
Well, I just want an assurance that it's not going to go up by 50% on top of the 4.8%.
I can't give you that assurance.
I have only both of them.
We put the general rate up 4.8%.
Based on the old AV, AAV.
So 4.8% on last year's general rate, not on individual property. That then spreads across the property as I explained into two portions. Half of that is spread evenly split between the properties as a fixed charge, and the rest is based on your AAV. Your valuation, I mean, your property might be worth more because it's in a certain location and that.
Everybody's property is worth a lot more.
But if you have looked through that, you see the areas and the. You see where they've gone up and where they've gone down. They've broken down by towns. But there's going to be variation amongst the rate card. Your rate card, Harry, I can't tell you that your rate can have gone up 4.8%.
But they've all gone up by 60,
70, 40. Yeah, but it's. All the AAV.
Look, the rate of the dollar comes down, so the net result is 4.8%. It's the rate of the dollar on the last.
If we hadn't had a rebound, you could pretty well say your rate would have gone up 4.8% for your general rate on last year. But we've had a revaluation. It's changed everybody's land capital and AAV value. They haven't all gone straight like that across the municipality, there's ups and downs like that.
Okay.
So it's just going to affect everyone differently.
It will. Council Cassidy, and then I'm putting the vote to the floor.
Yes, sir. We can get back to our 14.2 recommendation. And I just want to clarify for Council, during the workshop, I was against the rate rise. Voting against this rate rise here, it's not justified based on the money that our field council was.
Okay, so I'll put the vote to the floor. It was moved the recommendation of council by absolute majority of the following rate resolution 2022-2023. Moved by Councillor Campbell, second by Councillor Bailey. I'll recall the four in count. So four to Councillor Campbell. Four against Councillor Bailey, your four obviously, who seconded it. Councillor Cassidy?
Against.
Is against. Councillor Ong?
Four.
Councillor Bowden?
Because I don't fully understand it anymore, I have to vote against it until I do understand.
Against Councillor Archer?
No, I guess.
Against. Councillor
Ong?
Four. And that leaves me as in four. So we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 4. And three against. So that leaves carried. There was a lot of discussion at the workshop, trust me. Calling for a three, the annual plan recommendation that council adopt the annual plan. Move the plan. Councillor Cassidy, four. Is there any against the annual plan?
The last page, I think, is in the annual plan there, and I could be completely wrong. I can't find the figures. The details of we're spending significant funds at Illinois, and I just think proportion in terms of the ratepayer base there. Compared to somewhere, for instance, like Myena, where there was a substantial ratepayer base that was getting that financial support. I'd like to see Council in its annual plan review where we are spending these significant funds to try and get better equity across the municipality.
The annual plan is how we spend the budget. It's picking up
the last
our major items.
The last page actually in those
shows
where the funds are going, Capital Works.
Capital Works, that's right. So that's what Council agreed in the budget about the Capital Works. So that's just the list of the Capital Works that have been in the budget. Yeah, please, thank
it's
up to Council to put forward at the budget meeting. What kind of work they was.
Okay, so the recommendation is that Council adopt the 2022-2023 annual plan. The recommendation is moved by Councillor Honour, who is seconded by Councillor Cassidy. So, for that recommendation, is there anyone against that recommendation? Against is Councillor Archer. Okay, thank you. 15 is Development and Environmental Services in accordance with Regulation 2251 of the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulation 2015. The Mayor's Office of Council intends to act as a planning authority under the Land Use Planning Improvements Act 1993 to deal with the following items. Move, please. Councillor Honour, seconded. Councillor Cassidy, four. Okay, that is Karen. Welcome, Mary. How are you?
Thank you.
Very good. So, we're into Victor and Port 1.
Lastly, that the planning committee be looked at two development applications. The first one, VA 2022-4711, 38 lot subdivision at Johnson Road and Robertson Road, Myena. Council was asked to address a concern during the last week regarding the proposed emergency access, vehicle access on Robertson Road, which we have done. Been in touch with the people who prepared the bushfire assessment, and they don't have any concerns with the proposed gate to that section of road, which is the concern was that it might become an access into the subdivision rather than the main access point. So that has been updated, and the condition updated. Condition 31, emergency access, which is for you. There were no other issues raised at the planning meeting last week.
Only with regard to one block, which the representative thought might have the drainage, but there's technical ways to deal with that.
So 31, move one, that's the development.
Yeah, yeah, on that.
Emergency access to the development will install three signs and two gates at both ends of the proposed emergency access road on Robertson Road to the satisfaction of the council's manager for it.
There was some discussion about whether it should be locked, but it can't have a lock in the gate. I think the representative was actually reasonably happy.
Yeah, I read that fairly thoroughly. I didn't think you'd answer any question, but I had a thing to do. So,
well, I'll move the recommendation. What are you going to do with both at once? Or? Where's your recommendation? It's the same.
Are we going to put a signage there?
Two signs, two gates.
Good. Okay. And they're not going to be locked, are they?
No.
Good.
Okay. Thank you, Louise. The next one, please.
Next one is VA 2022-4/5. This is for accommodation and outbuildings at Block 3, Meadowbank Road. Looking at a proposal for 3 one-bedroom visitor accommodation units. They're quite small. They're about 49 metres square, and an outbuilding. we discussed the covenant, the covenant on all of the land along there. So the planning permit can be issued if you agree to grant it, and then the condition, the covenant on the title will then need to be amended by the owners at council agreement.
The covenant's an agreement between the council and the landowner, which I don't ever remember that happening.
So it relates to this 100 metre setback from the high water mark.
What else is there? The actual application is for 100 square metre head, but he's actually restricted to a 50, so that's...
And it is on high-grade land, so it has to have this.
Okay, and that was moved on in one, or that was moved.
That's a good question, Mary. In regards to one of the annexes that talks about keeping the waste more than 100 metres away from the bank shore, how are they going to do that?
So they have septic tanks and trenches outside of the 100 metre zone.
So
they will pump.
So that is addressed, but I don't know the conditions for this coming up. Right. Thank you.
So they will have to have a full, as part of their plumbing permit, they will have to have a full design and prove that that is feasible.
Fine. Thanks very much.
Any other questions?
That in this case there are other places
items to be considered that have data in them. Therefore, council will need to form an opinion on this matter and advise the place names advisory panel accordingly. It should be noted that the place names advisory panel are the approving authority to change this name, and council is the authority to amend the road name and subsequent address changes that would be required. Approval, I think, should be given the name change. So this is a discussion and a recommendation. Councillor Cassidy.
I just wanted to point out that some years ago I actually brought this up to council that it should be changed.
Yeah.
And I was shut down.
Oh, was it? Councillor
Cassidy. I think it's correct that it be changed. Things evolve over time, and the reason, and it's pointed out that Dago Point was called Dago Point because of the heritage involved with the HEC, the hydro building, and the Italians and the other ethnic communities that came and worked out here. And I think when the name is changed, it should still reflect the immigrants that helped to build the hydro.
So what do we call an immigrant camp?
I think we need to look at it seriously on how we name it, but I think we need to honour those people that came out here all the way from Europe and
so I think
built our hydro scheme.
A little more discussion, if you'd like to bring it back to the July meeting with some discussion points.
Has anyone else got any thoughts?
So I think we'll bring it back to next meeting, July. Mm.
I think we've got to go back. I mean, we need to float some names.
That's why we need to
not only just the council, but the residents
up
there.
Yeah,
unless
we put our
point. Needs to get the name right. We need probably 2 or 3 months really to
close
it around.
Well,
but that's a good idea. Come back
to what if we start off by putting it out publicly, some information, and bring it back to September or something? What would the council feel?
Well, Madam Mayor,
yes.
Perhaps in your little newsletter that's coming out in the digest, you could mention that.
So welcome
input from the community so far as name suggestions, but little Italians, little Irish, little Polish, little Germans, there's so many people that came out to work on a hybrid scheme. I mean, I would put forward a name, Immigrant Point. I think it's very appropriate.
So I in saying that, you like to do the motion, Councillor, to have this back at the September meeting, because we advertised publicly.
Good enough. Yeah.
Would September be long enough? Come back to Council and do something like publicly. Yes, we might. Some sort of public notice meeting to go out. Who would do that?
Greek community might even like
it. Yeah. Okay, that would be a good idea. Kathy and Louise will draft a public notice that will go into the Isle of Digest.
When's Brian coming back with it?
I don't know. Hopefully tomorrow.
Hey, it's more grand.
We'll
leave
that Brian. Okay, so that was moved by Councillor Lewis, who made a motion. That was moved by Councillor Cassidy. Who was that second by? Councillor Campbell. Four. Against. Carried. 15-7. Landfill levy readiness grant program. Grant to be included as a separate attachment. And it's from BHO, Beverly. Information Council applied for landfill grant to help with cost in setting up a reporting training an authorisation from council was now required to enable the general manager to sign the grant deed. The recommendation that the general manager be authorised to sign the land for Libby Reedy and its grant program.
It's the local provision schedule and where we're up to with the Tasmanian Planning Commission. So we had most of the hearings back in May. In fact, all the issues except the issue of agriculture versus rural zone. And as you might recall, that prior to those hearings, the Commission had basically given us a direction to go and engage agricultural consultants to review how Council had done that and basically verify Council's methodology. We had been arguing that that wasn't necessary because there was all these guideline documents that had been produced by the state government. But in the end, we were forced to do that. So Opinion Advisory Services, who many councillors may know from agricultural enterprises, are doing that. And the time schedule there is that they will have a draft of that report ready for the next council planning committee to have a look at, with the idea that that report then gets might get modified as a result of input from the planning committee, but the idea is that in the July council meeting that report is ticked off by council, having been through the July planning committee meeting. So that'll be probably have to set aside a fair bit of time in that July planning committee meeting for looking at the opinions draft report.
Are opinions actually consulting people on the ground as part of it?
The budget doesn't extend to that. If there are some,
I just know the council had a number of represent boards, I'm sure would be have been.
Yeah, they have been provided with the representors' letters.
At the county board.
So whether or not they feel the need to go and talk, I actually tried to ring the chap on the way up to see how he's going with it and all of that.
What are you doing?
It's Jason Lynch and also with Michael Lehman are doing it. So yeah, we're trying to get away with not spending a fortune on this if we can. And my reading of what the commission are after are just at the end of the day wanted to have someone, and a so-called independent expert, check council's methodology and hopefully more or less confirm it. Certainly speaking to Jason Lynch, he was certainly of the view that if you overlay the whole altitude issue on that land potentially suitable for agriculture zone, you very quickly can start to decide that high altitude rough grazing land probably really shouldn't be considered the same as land on the northwest coast. Anyway, that'll be at the July planning committee meeting, then July council meeting. So some of the other issues that were subject to the formal hearing process last month, one of them, the issue of the zoning of the canal between Lake Crescent and Lake Sorell. It was quite surprising. The delegates sitting there seemed to be quite open to council's arguments that the whole width of the canal ought to be utility zone. I was surprised. I thought we'd just get very short shrift there, the way we had previously. But
were you successful?
We don't know yet. But they've done two things. They've issued a directions notice following that hearings. One of the directions was that council prepare a map showing the whole width of the canal zone utilities. Now that doesn't mean that they've decided that way. The other thing they've done is they've sent a direction to DPIPWE, the Environment Department, to react to what council had put, because DPIPWE chose not to attend the hearing or speak to their submissions that they'd previously sent in. So the delegates said, well, we want to hear what the DPIPWE have to say about all this. But that was quite a surprising stance from the commission, that they seemed at least open to the idea. They didn't just dismiss it. Another one was we had about 8 or 9 people who had conservation covenants and they wanted their lands changed in zoning to landscape conservation zone. The commissioners who heard seemed to be very much against the idea of just individual titles being picked out and zoned that way. They were basically saying that the landscape conservation zone is for conserving whole landscapes. So where these people had properties that were maybe clustered together with 2 or 3 other similar properties who also wanted landscape conservation zone, or whether it abuts a nature conservation reserve, the commission seemed to be more open to the idea of changing that zone, but it certainly wasn't a fait accompli, and they certainly wanted the people who wanted the land changed in zoning to be there and to sort of justify that, their arguments for that zoning, and I suspect that the ones that were just individual properties on their own probably won't get the agreement to have their land changed from either agricultural rural to landscape conservation.
And when comes back before them, all those people with the conservation covenants, do they make representation or miss their chance?
No, this the commission will issue its final decision. at some point on these issues, and that'll be it. That there'll be a legal direction to council to make whatever changes, and then that will be the form of the new zoning.
And in terms of the stuff that DPIW, they will come back and there'll be no further discussion? Or
yes, well, the commission have issued a direction to the PWE to say, come back on that Interlaken Canal one and provide, basically provide a response to what council had said about it. So I think the
council get another crack at it, or will that be it?
No, well, that'll be it. Right. Yeah, there won't be another hearing. I don't know, maybe the commission has the power to reopen a hearing, but I'm not sure they do that very often at all. I think they just want to get it done and be able to say that another council has now entered the Tasmanian planning scheme system. I think there's a fair bit of pressure from the minister's office on them to get it through. Landscapes with the wind farm, that was obviously a big hearing. There was a lot of the people who put those representations in turned up. So I'll just relaying council's view that it does consider there's something in this. The council has probably not got the resources to undertake a full landscape values analysis of the municipality to then figure out where the important things are. So hence Stuart from this program. So I think where it says spatial analysis over there, that's the bit where that program would start to look at the spatial analysis of different values, and I'm sure that they would be taking the great big helicopter view of things like landscape value and say, okay, let's look across the whole of these big regions of Tasmania. What really are the super important landscapes that are so important that they should be protected from having a wind farm on? For example, you know, I'm putting it fairly crudely, I think, but that's probably, hopefully, where that project will go. Because as I keep on saying, it's one thing for people to write in and say this specific landscape is super important, we have to protect it, and we can't have a wind farm there. But how do we know that this landscape, within the whole scheme of the Tasmanian landscapes, it's so important that we have to protect it from something like a wind farm? So that's all to play out, and hopefully that government program will pick the ball up and run with that one.
I think you'd be aware that, a bird's eye view of a landscape would be far different from a photographer's view of a landscape.
Well, yeah,
along the road, you come around a bend and be wild by something. Yeah. You know, the next bend you wouldn't see it.
Yeah, well, I said helicopter view, but I meant a view, just looking at all the landscapes together.
Yeah.
And comparing them, basically, and seeing which ones are the important ones. Just quickly, Lake Meadow Bank specific area plan, that was a pretty good hearing as well. Again, seemed to be a different feeling from the actual delegates who sat hearing that. They seemed to be very open to the idea that we need a specific area plan there and we need to tweak the current one. It helped a lot that the hydro representative was there and the Taswater representative was there, both saying, for all these reasons, we feel we need to have a specific area plan and we feel that we need to tweak it. Aboriginal Heritage Tasmania also, they weren't actually there, but they had written in an extra letter for the delegates. So the Commissioner, again, in their directions notice that they issued, have requested that we come back with a whole lot of tweaks to the wording of the specific area plan. But my feeling is that they're very open to that specific area plan being there. And having some tweaks done to it, which is really good. So that's kind of quite a different feeling from the last 2.5 years, from the officer level feeling on that. And then just going on to the township strategic planning projects, as you might recall, we had a report on that at last month's council meeting, and ultimately, it was really subject to confirmation of council's contribution through the council budgeting process. So I'm not actually sure where that's got up to. But if council does confirm, it will contribute to these structure planning projects for the various townships. And if that happens before this coming planning committee meeting, I'd suggest that the first thing to do is, at the planning committee meeting, we need to confirm the makeup of the steering committee. Now, is it simply Council's Planning Committee, or is it something different to that? And then the first job of the Steering Committee is to confirm the project plan. And we had that draft of the project plan or the project brief in last Council's agenda.
Daniel, you've got $74,000 allocated under development control structure plans and rural agricultural zone review.
Sorry, I didn't hear that last point.
$74,000 for structure plans and rural agricultural zone review.
Okay. Right.
And also, I think I was going to say, in addition to that, Dean, we have decided not to put forward a committee yet. So, insofar as the existence of the committee, that's underway. But the money could be definitely.
Right. So the next step there, should we discuss this at the next planning committee meeting in terms of the committee and finalising the project plan?
With the recommendation of council,
yes. So I'll just get a report organised so that we do that at the next planning committee meeting. Okay, thank you. Okay, that's all I had.
In regards to 15.12, the defibrillator, I know we discussed it in close, but because it's in the open, can I just request again that a public notice be issued to communicate to the Central Highlands residents that there are two defibrillators available 24/7, one at Boswell and one at Hamilton.
Yeah, I think that's
council meeting. Adam couldn't make it, so Lynn was sat in for Adam, and Louis came along, thank you very much, and also Jason. We've had a lot of negotiations back and forth. I've had six different phone calls and teleconferences with GHD, who prepared this document for us, just trying to see if we couldn't move closer to getting some on-the-ground works as part of the project. I've had other discussions. One of them was with Bill Shacklock, the Water Management Branch, and to get a guide as to what would be a reasonable budget for these sort of works normally. And I've prepared just the one page, which I quickly just like to go through with Council. It's just a very brief document in terms of what I thought would be good for Council to get from this project. Now, $246,000 or $7,000 is a lot of money, and it would be great for us to get something concrete on the ground. And I've spoken to every property owner that I'm aware of, except for one, that adjoins the river from the top end of the floodplain to where it spills from the other side of the township. And these guys haven't touched base with me because she's aware of what's going on, but I've spoken to your neighbours, our family.
Have you spoken to Duncan?
No.
Probably a good idea to speak to him.
Correct. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And so that's what I've tried to...
Because really it's south of the river that needs to be fixed more than anything. But anyway, keep going.
Well, that's very much the view of the Fowler family. The Fowler family think that, there's a choke below the Clyde, which is causing a lot of our flooding problems within the river. In the meeting yesterday, we also had our Landcare reps come along. They have just made a contribution to a fairly large amount of money to clear a choke north of the Bothwell Town site. And what that's going to do is be very helpful in terms of reducing the severity of the floodings, but it's also going to increase the velocity of the water. So where there might have been a three-day delay in the water getting to the town, it'll be there within a day. Also, there's significant dam works already being undertaken, under construction at the moment, on the Denison property north of the town, where they're building some 3 or 4 kilometres of levee banks, which will, again, increase the velocity of the water coming into the town. So our flooding problem is going to be probably of shorter duration, but of greater magnitude. The areas within the town's... let's look at, first of all, the town stormwater system that we put in place. Jason was able to advise us yesterday in terms of where we are with that, with the remediation. But as part of the works, there was some mapping and estimates of volumes required that we can provide to GHD to help them with that. My understanding is there's been a LIDAR survey undertaken by TAS Irrigation of their pipelines and power lines. So a LIDAR survey is basically a satellite survey, which is very, very accurate. So again, a lot of mapping's been done. There certainly would have been very extensive mapping done north of Nant Lane for this approval that's been granted to the owners of Denison Proprietary Limited for doing their flood works there. The key infrastructures that Jason helped us identify that the council owned that are affected by flooding in the Clyde were Nant Lane, Jason, and also Andrew Bridge, and Croker's Alley, and also several houses that required council staff to stand back and in moderate flood events. And so we're hoping that as part of this project, we can get some firm advice as to how best to handle those flooding events. And what I'm envisaging is that there would be a minor levy, and I'm talking 300, 600 mils probably already required, down the length of the river. There's no point in us just starting at the town and the floods. Yeah, exactly, very low. Yep, yep. That's just what's been advised for Thorpe and for... and so we're accepting there will be flooding, because we're not going to say we're going to stop every flood and build a long-term arrangement. We're going to accept that it's on a floodplain and it only minor works. What Bill Shacklock suggested was that no matter what we do as a council, if we put a drain along the river flat to take water from our stormwater away, if we put a minor levee just 1 metre anywhere on the river flat, we need a thing called a dam application report to be prepared. As part of that, it's mandatory that it goes to public consultation. And you look at the study that GHD have prepared for us, they're saying between 60 and 80 grand as part of the consultation process. Now, obviously, we need consultation as part of this, but what I've put in this draft document to them is just some guidelines that I think would be good for council to have at the end of the day. But for me, the most important thing is we do nothing else is to actually just make sure that the list maps Tasmania include those areas from this study that flood. And that protects council and ratepayers going forward. And what they say they're going to do is to produce a risk matrix. And so you can still build a house, but you might have to put a 200 mil levy, like raise it up 200 mil or a meter or wherever it is. We really want to protect council's interest in terms of making sure that we're not vulnerable to not advising people of flooding. Jim, you've got a quick question?
Oh, yeah. The choke point down here,
above the falls. So, John Fowler said that if you look at the 350 metre contour, which runs through the town, that takes you to Ben Devlin Hill. And he said, in his view, we need to be using that 350 metre contour as a guide. And make sure that the river's falling right at that point all the way down. So we have to go some distance below the town to remove the willows and alleviate the problem.
Is there a way that, let's say, Bill could work out how much it costs and then we work out how much it costs?
Well, we asked them, could they do that as part of the study? And my understanding, Jason, was they said they could, didn't they?
Yeah, that would be incorporated. I think the scope works within the...
So it's
Yes, and so the willow removal is going to be an integrated part of this.
Yeah.
But what the thing that scared me yesterday from what he was saying is that as part of these projects, I've spoken to a landowner up the river and said, would you be prepared to contribute something to willow removal? At the moment, it's 50-50 that Landcare are providing half the funds and the farmers are paying half. But she's, and I think she's right, her suggestion is we need a longer time period to make sure that they don't grow back again. And in the past, it's been 2 to 3 years, which is an easy sell. You can go to someone and say, look, mate, it's going to cost you $1,000 a year for 3 years. People buy into that, but Eve suggests it probably needs to be 10 years.
The experience of Bladesford War at Hamilton and the experience of Ooze, where the Royal Commission got all that money clean up there, is that farmers say they will do it. The only landowner on
Right. Well, what she's saying is that she can come to an agreement with the landowners, they'll do the work and just build them.
Yeah,
they'll charge farmers for their share of the work.
Yeah, that would be the only way to make it work. Voluntary,
they would have to do that sort of arrangement. I think that's great. No, I'd be happy to pay someone just because you get busy, you don't get back to it, and you're only spraying and regrowth, you're not doing all the capital works and pulling the trees out and those sort of things.
But there's a lot of extra cost to replacing of the roof to allow regeneration and being meaningfully fenced off, not just with
what the I raised that question and I was concerned about it. I could see the people, you know, not being able to afford it. And the big problem we've got is fencing on the pipe just overstable.
No,
and this one
no.
Takes it away. She said what they can do, and again I'm digressing, is that for instance you accept that you're not going to just be able to plant native trees there, you might put grasslands and not have to fence them, but you can still use shrubs like she suggested backwards and put back the trees. Well, exactly, but they would be, you know, independently dispersed, not a solid riparian, because we couldn't get the fences there. But I was encouraged that they could see that there were different ways of doing it and we'd get a good outcome that wouldn't regrow. We had a long discussion with the PhD and then they were not amenable in the NRL discussion, I didn't think, to changing the project pretty much at all. And so I said to myself, I'm sorry I'm going to vote against this in the council meeting. You know, I'm unable to provide support because we really, as a council, want to see something firm on the ground that we can go to our next round of funding. We want to be able to go to the land here and say, this is a firm club. So they can go on their funding for it. We want to look at Andrew's Bridge. Jason raised the issue of Andrew's Bridge a couple of times. And is that part of the choke point? Well, how big does it need to be? Can you give us the sums on that? No, we couldn't look at that. You know, and I know
it's not very, very helpful.
Well, it's pretty much that's our way of the highway, and it's like, sorry, I can't support this at the council meeting tomorrow. Oh, yeah, all of a sudden they were a little more amenable to being flexible. They're saying they're not there to rip off the community or council, right? That if there's funds left over because we're able to save them a lot of work, because we can, as Jason's done, provide them with the training groups in the town. We've also provided them with mapping that's already been done. We can provide them with a landowner consultation ourselves by acting as an intermediary and getting some extra funds towards this, then any surplus funds could go towards giving thought to how the levees would work, where there would be grains. But they did commit to making sure that they incorporate willow removal and land restoration as part of the project, which wasn't actually listed. So good. And so what I suggest to you is I'd like to propose a motion today, which is something on the lines of this document here. It's basically saying the council support GHD doing the work for us, given that the goals that were discussed in prior meetings are incorporated into the plan as per the guidelines, because they did say that none of this basically is in breach of the guidelines which they've applied for. But I'd also like to see council have regular updates as far as expenditure and any surplus funds that may be available to allow us to any extra money that's left over goes towards achieving our goals. So our first priority clearly is to get the mapping done, and so as part of this suggestion I've said they fill in any gaps for there could well be gaps in the matter. Get that done. Again, that's not an expensive exercise. We were quoted yesterday $20,000 to do an extensive mapping for another project. So out of a $247,000 budget, $20,000 is not a lot of money.
You're proposing
well, I'm proposing to support this going forward with GHD, but with a couple of caveats. One of them is that we'll get a regular update
on the contract.
Being authorised to fill in the contract.
Yes.
But we did that last.
Last week we agreed to say thanks very much for the money, but what we did do last month was two things. We didn't say we're happy to waive going to tender. Part of this process is waiving going to tender because GHD have already put a lot of work into it. If anything, I think over 100 grand we've got to waive. We don't want to go to tender, we'll just get them to
there's a special under our policies.
Under policy 2015-06, tender and purchasing, that we have to get three quotes. It says it's required to get three quotes for any job between $50,000 and $249,999. So the amount would be happy to waive that. Under policy number 2016-44, a council has asked that we go to tender for any amount over $100,000 or $249,999, and we were looking to waive that as well. But the outcome is required to go to tender is over $250,000.
So you're happy if council moves that we waive the provisions under policy number 201 and 506 and whatever the other policy number was?
201614. First of all, we waived that policy in this instance with GHD because they have we've got a limited time frame to get the works done and they have been doing the works.
And you authorised the general manager to sign the agreement?
Yes, we authorised the general manager to sign the agreement, but with some clauses that the agreement needs to take I'd suggest monthly reviews as a minimum of the expenditure to see where we're going in terms of trying to achieve council's goals as per the document provided to GHD in our negotiation.
Have you got that, Katrina? Authorised general manager to sign the contract with GHD.
The subject to two conditions. One of them is that they
have you got that
document? I'll give you this document. Absolutely.
There's not even
and so, basically, not that
discussed.
So, the effort of the goal discussed is what you're going to do. No, I can't put it exactly.
What about?
Two parts of the updates to the general manager we have costings going to see if the surplus funds can be made available to achieve the council's goals as discussed in the meeting as per the document provided to Katrina.
And that was moved by Councillor Cassidy. I'll call that motion. Is there anyone going to that motion?
Any discussion or questions?
I think the willow removal is the ultimate way to fix things, but as well as doing it. But if it did remove the willow, say in Rockwood, I reckon I can't remember what the little bridge is called.
Andrew's Bridge.
I reckon Andrew's Bridge would have to be made deeper.
Exactly. And that's what Jason wanted advice on. And we asked that they include that in the scope, but they did not believe that they would be able to, and yet you and I could be able to do that with afternoon with nothing level and
my understanding was that they were going to come up with some options with dealing with the flooding and a risk assessment against each of those options. So that you've got a document that you can use to go for funding to implement one of those recommendations.
Okay, Councillor Campbell, then Councillor.
I'd just like to say that I'm against the motion. I feel that we should be being totally transparent and letting GHD do the study without any council interference or any council input. Let them come back with their findings, and that way it's transparent and no one will ever be accused of having conflicts or pecuniary interests. I think it's very dangerous to start getting involved when there's been a grant made for $247,000 and there's an independent company able to do the study. We should just leave it at that and not be involved and not be dictating what we want to come out of the study.
Thank you, Councillor
Kessler. Yes, Anthony, we've done a hell of a lot of hard work on this and it's appreciated, I'm sure, especially by those who are affected by the floods. Let's say, for example, all the residents along Harper's Court and Patrick Street at the bottom end there and for the police station. I really would like to point out, I was out some years ago to photograph Clyde River Falls, and at the base of the falls, there's a thatch. It's like an island. You could walk on it of fallen trees, tires, fishing equipment, all kinds of debris that's, you know.
It's not there anymore, Robert.
Well, anyway.
It's been removed last year.
Well, anyway, the point being is all along the river there are fallen logs. I've seen a steering wheel down by the Andrews Bridge in the river, tires in the river. I think we need to, probably in the first instance, have somebody or a group of people walk the river and remove that stuff, because each of those, it's kind of like a beaver dam, you know? And if we could remove that stuff, it will certainly improve the flow, along with the willows and everything else that you propose. Anyway, those are my observations.
I'm not opposed to what I think is suggested at all. If there's a view in the room, that's the way we should handle it, then you won't be offending me. I just think for a lot of money, it would be nice to get the most benefit we can for it.
Yeah,
I'm happy enough with the way Anita progressed with it. I think there should be some isolation. When they cleaned up the Ouse River, that's really improved the flock.
Yes,
so that's right. The easy part. They should be looking at that. So it should be two.
They're going to calculate the effect of cleaning the river.
Sorry?
As part of the study, they gave you a check like that, so Landcare can go to your banks and do it.
Yeah.
And I saw the time you did that. It took three times as large a flood the last time the willow was snagged to get a flood.
Yeah, so, but is there a way, like, the Dillon catchment would probably do that part of it, but nothing.
No, she's saying that they need to find a way to fund it at the moment.
They can't fund it. They wouldn't be able to fund the actual removal. They'd have to go again. But they could, with this part of it, or the degree, they would give. They would do that part of it. Say, giving GHD's word to get. So you're
going
to get more.
She was happy to work with them to do that. Yeah, so she's actually going to work with them with GHD to get that.
Yeah, well,
the
council pays them $40,000, I think, for this type of stuff.
Exactly.
He gets nothing, rather than pay GHD
for them. Well, I mean, we've got the grant application. The grant application covered the things that we could. Do with the money. You've all seen the detail that GHD proposed. Let's not get off the track from what we're looking at.
That might be too complicated. Doing catchment work for GHD to do that would probably
spread the money a bit further.
So is it back to the motion?
Yes, exactly. I'm happy to leave the motion that the council, you know, a group has done really, that's over that.
So
we'll
with the motion, did anybody get that motion?
Now, I got some information. Part A was the way council waived provisions under policy 201586 and whatever the other policy was for this project due to limited time to complete it.
Yep.
And B, authorised the general manager to sign the contract with GHD subject to monthly updates to general manager.
Yes. With the goal of being able to if there are funds available to go further down the track in terms of works as per the document provided to Katrina.
Yeah, I reckon
Katrina
will The council waived the provisions of policy number 201586 the other one was, for this project due to limited time to complete it. And C, authorised the general manager to sign the contract with GHD subject to one, monthly updates to general manager, and two, as the goals discussed with, and I think
monthly updates are to and monthly updates is so that if the surplus funds they can go to the goals provided by council.
So goal one doesn't actually mean anything because that's covered in the previous one.
So
but the goal of the whole thing would be to provide a proposal. So you don't actually need these goals. You actually just need what it was. You don't actually need it.
Well, you do. The problem is that they're saying they're not going to do any of those works unless these funds available. What they're going to do is not actually come back to what Bill Shackle said, you need a DAR, mate.
DAR,
yes.
Yes.
You're going to have a dammed application for a levy or a drain is a DAR. If you actually come back and say, we need a drain or we need a levy of any sort, then we need to put a dam application report up, which is where it goes for the consultation. That's got to be done just for like a tiny drain along anywhere on the floodplain, we need that approval for you to do it.
So the
actual original GHD what they are proposing, if you read the language of it, and again, it was all done in a hurry to try and help us get money, and for which we're very grateful, basically they are collecting data, and we're saying, great, collect the data, but come back to us with these are your options and this is what it's going to cost. So we can go to landowners and say we want a co-contribution to remove the willows or 50% of this or whatever. My feeling is, having discussed with a lot of landowners above the town, they've been prepared to contribute to pulling the willows out and the maintenance. People within the town and one that I spoke to below felt that should be spread across the greater community, not conserved. They weren't going to get the immediate benefit, but they were happy for it to happen on their land, but they didn't want to do it to fund it.
Okay, so that's...
that's a lot clearer. So
that motion is there. Councillor Ross?
Yeah, so the motion is to get an outcome
will allow for
a dam application report and for willow removal rather than just all the data.
Here's the data, exactly.
So we're not going to know whether we're going to get that. You're authorising me to sign the contract subject to monthly updates to general manager.
Well, I know at the end of December there's no money left. Too bad. But it makes it an incentive for them to try and make the project.
So I sign it anyway?
In any event.
Right. That's all I need to know.
So that will go back to the motion.
Is there
a time? I mean, they will, part of their consultation, they will come and speak to council. So.
Yes, they will, I imagine. Yes. So we'll go back to that motion. It was moved by Councillor Archer, second by Councillor Cassidy. Those for the motion. Is there anyone against the motion?
I'll stay with mine.
Stay with your Councillor Cassidy. Okay, so it was, I've got a record because we know that it was not Councillor. Four, Councillor Deputy Mayor Allard, Councillor Archer, Councillor Biden, Councillor Honour, Councillor Cassidy, myself, and against is Councillor Campbell.
We're on the Clyde River and I just don't feel that we should be having any input into it at all.
I'm
the
same as they're interested in me.
All righty.
Councillor
Cassidy.
I just want to say in response to Anita's objection or voting against the motion, and just for clarity and transparency, Anthony, there's no way that you would have any pecuniary interest in this at all.
Oh, absolutely, yeah, I've got a huge interest. We've got land right along the river, we've got land subject to flooding, we've got land being influenced by any change in the river. Now, we are probably the most affected landowner, and I'd like to clear that to me whenever we've had this discussion with the council meeting. But I think that the town issues, like the issues within the township, if we just start and stop within the town, we're not going to fix it. Mm-hmm. If there's a choke below the town, they need to come out. If landowners are moving well above the town, which they are committed to doing this winter, that's going to make the velocity greater.
Last winter, the government spent a lot of time taking out the willows below the sewage pond and clearing a lot of boars and a lot of willows from the sewage pond down and especially south of the falls. So there is some work being done privately as well already.
Okay, thank you. Signage for wildlife. At the moment, like you may have heard on the radio that the devils are a bit of and a lot of the reasons in signage, we've got many wildlife, beware of whatever signs available, or?
It's always a different one. I mean, what are you trying not for what type of
reason? We're trying to warn traffic, especially in the dark, so going up and lakes, yours would know this,
On council, whereabouts?
Well, I'm thinking the lakes,
and majority of wildlife signs, is the Victorian signs? Is there a picture of the wildlife and we put them on our roads and then they're either shot or starved?
Yeah.
Straight up. We've got some that's just written caution wildlife, we have put those in some areas, but unfortunately, the people that do the right thing, do the right thing.
Okay.
People that do the wrong thing continue to do the wrong thing with a sign that's there or not. They don't really work.
Mm-hmm.
No.
I think it's both the Tasman Council and the Morgan Green Bay Council, and it may still be state growth. I had those, I don't know what they are, they're like a infrared, or they send out a signal to the animals when there's a vehicle coming.
But it's very, very expensive.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was $100,000 a kilometre or something.
Mm.
But definitely, I know they did trial some. We've got some, we do have some signs in some of our areas around the New Zealand.
Okay.
But it has made a huge difference.
Okay.
And the tutorial signs, like I said, if you put the tutorial sign up, it gets shot or stolen.
Yeah,
especially out
there.
Yeah.
We've
been wondering if we're going to start on our side. Look. It can be done on fire today. You've got to police it, you've got to take it to court, it's got to be 100% clear, it's a whole process for a $40 soil.
So what you're talking about, Councillor Campbell, if we investigate grants with us,
I don't know what it's called, and I, like Jason says, they're very expensive. Mm-hmm. And I think the state growth probably, I think they were successful on.
I think that is something.
I don't know how much it does cost, but that is something that, for instance, the community funds that Cattle Hill. I don't know whether that kind of, because they're into protecting the wildlife. A lot of the projects that got funded last year were for protecting wildlife. Whether there's something that, one of those groups can apply again for a different project to protect the wildlife.
$100,000 a kilometre for the radar stuff, or expensive. I'm not sure, but I remember
something
a lot
that's thrown
about.
Someone in State Growth has the facts. Yeah,
deputy general manager to investigate that.
$23 per person. We would like to submit a quote to provide morning tea, lunch and dessert at council meetings. We are doing this on behalf of Bottle Bunnies, our relays for life team raising money to cancer, Council Tag. Our quote is $23 per person. This was a week late getting here.
Two things there. One, we
were
accepted.
I'll just speak of the Bossville Bunnies. They are an amazing charity group that raise money every year for the Relay for Life. I move one that we accept their expression of interest, and perhaps propose. My thoughts that we accept the CWA tender for the ordinary meetings at Bossville, and perhaps consider the other expression of interest for all other meetings that are held in Bossville, such as planning meetings and workshops.
I can talk to the GM about it. It would not be magnetic if we shared it, but I can't see the problem in sharing it.
Because there may be times where one group just can't. There might be two meetings in a week. It might be too much for CWA. I don't know. It's just.
We've had these sorts of discussions enough time. I thought.
Let's say again. One month the pub did it. One month the candle did it. One month then. I assumed it was all the same price, so we.
Oh, no,
don't vary.
Don't
vary. Oh, varied, okay. So,
just what were those prices again then? And it was $23, and that included per day or
no,
per person?
For morning tea, lunch, and dessert.
So at CWA is $29, nearly $30 for the same.
Why can't we share it, I reckon, because they're both...
I'd like to share it, but can we go back to... Oh, I can't understand.
Share it and overpricing.
What's the average price of those? So 30
yeah, well, no, if you're going to... This is very special.
Yeah.
You're going to have to pay
whatever. Yeah. So maybe we could think next time. Let's see if it's $25. Let's see who wants to do that. Anyway, that, we can't do that now, we haven't tried, but can we share it?
Oh, I think we should share it.
We share it or give the other, the bunnies, the all the other events that are not an ordinary council.
What do we do, either 1 month for CWA, 1 month for them, and then, or different...
I mean, there's only six council meetings here.
Yeah.
Generally, anyway.
Well, between
the
there was 12 planning committee meetings, and there's lots of other little meetings, which the mayor invites catering for. So.
But we don't always have catering for every planning meeting, do we?
No.
It's only if there's a workshop as well.
Katrina, I'd just like to ask Katrina, when we do it at Hamilton, Karina does say it's just they do morning teas and lunch is 1 month.
Yeah, and it's
dinner
at the hotel.
And if we have some meeting that requires a morning or afternoon too, who does it then?
Well, it's just whoever
you can get. Okay, that makes sense too.
And is there a fixed price at Hamilton, or is it on Act 10 or like this?
A lot of way back,
they just send a bill in.
Yeah,
so it,
they
just
send
it to the end. That's right. Well, could we alternate it to Hamilton monthly, and say 1 month at CWA for everything, the other month it's a bottle of bunny for everything?
We'd have to have 2 month blocks.
Yeah.
Because you can't have CWA getting all the council meetings and lunches.
Yeah. No.
I was only getting planning committee into this
one. So what are we in? June? So June, August,
yeah.
October, the CWA do all the catering for that 4 months, and then
I think what Councillor
said
it started this month, like CWA doing the catering for June. That's what August it comes back, and then it's the bottle bunnies.
Yeah.
Is that what we're talking
about?
You want the council meeting days, because that's when they make the money, you see. So you want that shared, so it's a 2 months.
So it just goes on the diary, a book where it alternates CWA being the council meeting this month, but then the bottle bunnies doing the council meeting.
Yeah, it was 2 months later.
Yes. Why don't we write the ladies of the CWA and the Bothell Bunnies and ask them if they would not mind alternating for all their council meetings that we have in Bothell. This way we just share it. And also, it defers this off of this agenda until we get an answer back from them. And if they agree to share, then let's just go with that. I think that's fair. You know, for us to just, decide without, I think it's, let's just put it on there and see what they say. Come back to it.
Then
we can send them the same exact letter.
3/4 of an hour. We've got two groups.
Well, maybe the council can just move the segments of the meetings to share with the
cabinet. Yeah, just
move that. We can advise them.
Yeah.
We don't like to be back
the same month. I think that's a good idea.
You think that's what we're going to do then? We're just going to go ahead and...
We're accepting both.
Yep. At their designated prices.
Yep.
I don't think that's fair.
You move it and I'll second.
Yes, and why is it fair?
Well, because the Buffalo Bunnies have increased theirs to $23 a person, is that right?
$23, yep.
So, if we're going to give one $23, then we should be giving the other $20. You know, we should be fair about it and just say, and let's fix the price. Let's say no more than $25, for example. And what do you say if you share alternate?
We don't tell them the price over at Hamilton. They charge us as well. They charge us.
Do what you want.
I mean, they've all looked at what they can supply the view, and you might find out that people are $23 quicker than we do.
The sea doesn't have a lot dearer, but they might have a lot more meal. So let's just leave it as similar to that and just swap them.
Sure. Yep. So what I'm hearing is what the council has said, expression of interest from Bottle CWA and Bottle Bunnies for catering for Bottle Council wouldn't just be meetings, would it?
Council meetings.
Regular council meetings and other events as required. Other meetings as required.
That's optional.
And it would have been better if everyone was on the same price, the head. Yeah.
That'd be collusion. Just a collusion we end up in jail.
Okay. Sorry. Who moved that?
I'll move that.
Councillor Campbell. Who seconded it? And do I have a second?
Oh, I'll second it. No, I'm not sure.
Have we still got a plot?
So, can I foreshadow that?
That's okay.
The only thing that I want to add is that they share that they alternate between our council meetings and workshops. I think that that's very
important. Just leave it to the gentleman to work out what a fair share.
Alternate, they will be on, when you're talking about alternate, but that is in there for the GM to discuss.
I just wanted to be fair.
We will advise them if they're happy with that, they're not happy with that, they'll come back and say, well, on that basis, we want to be able to do it. So.
Lonnie,
you're very right. Are you in the grounds of this? It will be depending on what is served.
I have a few.
Just put the motion there, bobbed up dinner time, just to get some food.
We need to be there around the table.
I'm always grateful for whatever comes.
Alright, okay. The main topic made before that the council said the expression of interest in both the CWA and Bottle Bunnies for catering for the Bottle Council meeting. Moved by Councillor Campbell, second by Councillor Wright. Let us call that motion. Is there anyone against that motion? Is there anyone on the floor anyway? So it's carried. That was easy, wasn't it? Order for the panel. Order for the chair. This is a letter I'll share with you. Dear Luke, I've been given this thought for quite a while and I feel that I'm too resigned as independent chair of the Central Highlands Order Committee effective from the 30th of June 2022. In the interim, I'm happy to remain in the role and have the council find a suitable replacement. I would like to acknowledge the assistance I have received from Lynn and her staff in the execution of my role as chair. I would also commend the council for its prudent financial management of the municipality, but would stress that the continued ongoing maintenance of the infrastructure is imperative. The fruitful expenditure in the past may come to haunt you down the track. If it is not kept up, the revaluation and adjustment to the rates this year is an issue that your council has to go with. In my experience, maintaining and keeping up with fabulous rises, little and often, is always the best policy. Otherwise, a large jump will cause the error of all workmates. I will be away for a few months, but can be contacted by email in the park. Here we have a recommendation that
what is 1,000 a meeting, isn't it?
Well, 2,000 a meeting.
2,500.
How many meetings have we got?
Four.
What about the nice wooden tent in the men's shed?
Ten,
they're beautiful tents.
So how much
do you need? Maybe just invite him to a morning tea if he returns because he's away, so.
So we'll have 10 and morning tea.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah? You don't need
to know.
Community
donations on the ground fundraiser, that's a really good thing. And last year, council donated $750. Recommendation, council donated something to the common ground charity fundraiser.
Councillor Ryan. I'll move the recommendation that we give $750 again.
Yeah, I'll second that.
$750, second by Councillor Campbell. Those for, against, those carried. Thank you. 17.5, thank you for parish at Hampton. This is money you always give us, isn't it?
Yeah, it's
in the budget. It's in the budget, so do I have a good Councillor Campbell, second it. Councillor Honour, four. Again,
can I just have a comment? Because we've had some comments before about, what's the word,
evaluation.
Should we write to them and say.
It's in their agreement.
It's in their agreement.
That they're trying to come into evaluation.
Yeah, they evaluate because there's been some, let's say, some community grant applications that have been subject to what they spent the money on. We agreed, well, it comes through council though, isn't it? We agreed that people who get money from community grants should be evaluated.
Yes.
There's a word that you can
When they're given the letter saying they've been awarded the grant for improvement, they should get a letter. They should have the attached form that we require them, but they'd be allowed to send that.
Yeah.
So there's a form.
But Ron will come and they'll spend the money wisely. He'll come and talk to council at some stage.
Yeah. Alright. 17.6 is the council meeting notice, ordinary meeting of council as usual, the planning committee meeting.
Well, Mayor, we've only done them up for 6 months. We normally do them. There's going to be a new council at the end of October. Perhaps that new council will decide the next 6 months.
Yeah, I was actually going to speak to that. I mean, I don't have a problem with the timing and things, but yeah, I think it probably should be openly discussed. With new blood.
Should we have a
recommendation? Because it should be December 2022, wasn't it?
Oh, yes.
But it's got to come. So it's quite long, correct? The Mrs. Wilson put that in.
Councillor Cassidy, second, those four. Committee done. Carry on. 17.6, Hatch Community Grant Application. The council donated $3,000 to Hatch to provide meal delivery program within the Central Highlands. Move, please. Who moved that? Thank you.
Made a condition for that.
What was the condition?
Well, that Tracy come and talk to us.
She's going to be coming to the July meeting. Talking about
the
possible
being
there.
Okay,
that's all. Does she need the money now, or we give it to her in July when she comes?
No, we'll take it
down.
Councillor Orr.
And second, Councillor Kennedy. Four. Again, Harriet. 7.8, Local Government Association, Local Government Services Awards. the decision, land, 79.9, Aboriginal Land Act consultation paper, with a deadline there, whatever that is. The recommendation of council to provide their comments on the consultation paper on the proposed amendments. The Aboriginal Land Act 1995 to the Deputy General Manager by Friday, the 15th of July 2022, so that the council can provide comments to the Department of Natural Resources and Environment and Northern Police. Councillor Meyer, seconder. Councillor Campbell, for. Against, that is carried. 17 icons represent Vauxhall Council. If that's the one to speak to this, is what the Council has to do?
Oh, well, the agenda is fairly self-explanatory, so I don't think I necessarily need to expound on it. There's even a photo there. It was brought to my attention by a ratepayer, David Dyson, about the, and he's also in the Historical Society, and they're working very hard on the bicentennial. Anyway, he had pointed out this black Angus signage. It looks pretty tatty, and I was hoping that maybe if Jason is still here, we could possibly get him to work on it or do something about it. Also, that was one point. And the other point, last year we resolved that we were going to remove or reclose that blue farmer, and we haven't done anything. So I just, you know, wanted to bring these two items to the council's attention.
Thank you. Councillor Ora?
Apart from the obvious sort of tear to the sign and the blue farmer, I think the whole discussion wants to evolve out of the structure plan that we're doing, which is going to involve committee council and approach around what we want the towns to look like and what we want, what services we want to provide and all that. I think that should be a sort of an agenda item for that discussion rather than just us to float around a few ideas, but we sort of really
Yeah, the blue farmer, that is coming down. I think it's just a matter of Jason removing it, and the creator of the blue farmer is happy for it to come down. And Rule Alive and Well will continue to find a way to keep the conversation about positive mental health going in the Central Highlands, because that's the gist of Blue Farmer and why it's there. It's to people look out for their mates and make sure that they're okay. So it's a matter of Jason taking it down and us continuing to work with providers of positive mental health to keep that conversation going. And whether there be a sign erected somewhere with contact numbers if people need urgent, you know.
Yeah, I quite like the blue farmer actually. You think it was repaired a bit and up a bit?
Yeah, but that was an artist that she got a grant to do that.
And getting it through the toilet.
Yeah, it was quite a challenge at the time. And it probably has served its purpose. But when I spoke to, and this is separate to the other item on the agenda from RAW, I did speak to someone at RAW about installing a sign with some phone numbers on it somewhere in Gospel to replace the blue farmer, whether that be on the notice board out here or at the medical centre or at the rec ground. Probably not. And that way we're not just taking it down and forgetting about what the message is. We're keeping that message alive. And then I think when we do take it down, we probably should try and find, and I would have the contact details for the artist that created Blue Farmer, or someone at RAW would have the details, to thank her and advise her that it is now...
It's funny now, I can't remember.
Gretchen.
Thank you. Councillor Cassidy.
So, when is it possible that we could address that and to, Jason, to see how much it costs to fix that sign or replace the sign? Motion that council resolve to repair or replace the plaque on the sign.
Second to that, Councillor Arnold goes forward.
So what was the motion of that?
Repair or replace the plaque on the sign?
Yeah, just repair the plaque on
it. It might be better to replace it, so it's better than this.
Has the school been notified about the blue farmer? Because they're the ones that actually built the blue farmer.
Yeah, I have spoken to them as well.
Right.
Yeah. It's been, we discussed this at a previous council meeting. I was living around. And,
correct.
Yeah. It actually was ultimately Gretchen's call, and she was happy.
Yeah, she had it done at school.
Okay.
John and the boys in that world.
All right, so we have a motion there. The sign that is vacating the community or the who was that member of Councillor?
Councillor Cassidy, Councillor Holland.
Councillor Cassidy, Councillor Honour, go for the motion. Is there anyone against the motion? All good. That is carried. Getting there. Family daycare centre items, and I really think this is an important one. Councillor, open to you, please. Councillor Ashton.
I was talking to some other ratepayers about who have been chasing family daycare. I haven't gone here to give some updates. You can give some updates on how you've gone getting daycare for hospital. But apparently there are a limited number of positions available at Kempton that were not there until recently. And there were funds that I understand provided to the local daycare centre for training, so the funds were provided by council to the daycare centre and drop it all here. And I think this motion basically suggests we transfer those funds to Ooze, which I think is a great idea if they're not being used at Bottle. But it'd be just nice to have an update on what's happening in terms of the vision here.
Well, this is all that we've got at the moment.
Yeah,
there's only
been
providing
the family daycare that runs on behalf of 4% of my council. To look at family daycare within our municipality. They help to get the educator's licence and those sorts of things. And currently, over the past year, they've got another educator at Ooze, or they've taken on an educator at Ooze, because you can go to a different sector. You don't have to use the right to family daycare centre if you want to run a childcare centre in the municipality, but we support them. We're paying $5,000 for probably now for about 15 years.
I just wondered what the options are. If you were exploring for having a possibility of a centre opening here, is that something you think?
Not a centre, it's a family daycare provider.
Yes.
And yes, there is a lady that has relocated to the Bothwell area, but she has a child, and we wait for that child to get to a certain age before she reconsiders putting on the family daycare.
So there isn't a daycare option at the moment in Bothwell?
No, there's no daycare option. Closest one would be either Ooze or Kempton.
But apparently, this
number of new women in the right area.
They've tried to get daycare and taken kids to Sorrel at the moment. A couple of bottles of families are travelling all the way to Sorrel to get daycare.
So back to the gospel comment you made about the lady in gospel.
Yes, I don't actually have the person's name, but between Brighton Family Daycare and that educator, we don't get involved in that side of it. All we do is if someone came to us and said, oh, I would like to be an educator, and we point them to the Brighton Family Daycare organisation to go through registration, and then they will provide them the support, and I believe the support that they have provided. People, educators have taken that off role in the Rockville area before. They thought it was very vitally high standard of support that they were getting.
So I suppose what I'm asking is it possible that they take on the practice up here again?
They've got to get someone to do it.
They haven't got anyone to do it.
No, they would constantly be looking at trying to get someone to do it if we provided them with $5,000 worth of funding to support them during the year.
Oh, I think that would be fairly reasonable, Councillor. Anyone would like to move it?
I'm happy there that, to me, there seems to be two parts to this proposal. One of them is the funds that we would normally spend at what would we spend whose, and on assisting the daycare, and I actually don't object to that, but I would like to see the bottom daycare operations reopen. If the Brighton could assist us in doing that, we'd be most grateful, and it'd be good to just make some noises again, I guess. Back to Brighton, can you do anything to assist us at Bothell? But for 12 months, I'm happy to see the funds if they're not being spent in Bothell, being spent out of pools.
So the motion would be a little bit shorter than that, so.
Look, basically, can we agree that the funds that would normally be spent at Bothell for this year go to Roos to support the daycare centre there?
Katrina,
The Roos daycare place is actually run by the Brighton Family Centre.
Yes.
So no matter. We provided it, they're still spending it in this municipality because they're still advocating to get more
education. Yeah, like if someone wanted to come up and do a bridge for Brighton Family Daycare's area organisation, we've got that person in doing a bridge for a Miami or a Hall for a Hallage Corner or a Trans Bay or Arthur's Lake. It's not just food, but we only have limited educators at this point in time. That's where they're not at this point in time. But if someone is regular like that, it wouldn't mean we have to pay any more.
Right.
It's just a flat amount for the whole year. Well, anywhere in the municipality.
Money well spent, I say.
Are you saying that now, Cassidy?
I guess so. I was just going to say, I think the bottom line is that we need a daycare here in Baltimore.
Yes.
There's sufficient families with young children and working parents that commute to Hobart or wherever, and no place to put their kids. So I think that's whatever we do as a council, that's what we should work on, trying to get this facility back open again.
Correct.
So back to the
motion. So the motion for two parts. One of them is to provide these funds as requested, but also to lobby again for the option of trying to open a daycare option within Bothell itself for the families that are currently travelling all the way to Sorrell and other places. Okay. Get daycare.
You
chose
that. Did you second that, Councillor?
Yes.
So for that motion, is there any more games? That is carried. And then the second and the 12th is the Albert General Assembly. That is the speaking.
I just think we should note that. I don't think we necessarily need to support that. I would say for the issue, they can take care of themselves. I just say we know that.
Yep. And 17-13 is the Royal Society of Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, with the recommendation that we donate to the Royal Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals regarding the Safe Feeding Program. Councillor Campbell and Cassidy.
There are lots of animal shelters in the state, and we support others as well. I'd say we give 150 to the RSPCA.
Okay.
$150 is not really buying a bag of dog food. I was going to suggest that maybe $1,000 that we would donate to them. It's a good cause. And,
okay, I'll go to the table. Thanks for
honour. I support her name. It's
$150.
Yes.
Councillor Archer.
Yeah, I'd like to specifically tailor it to the Safe Bench program. I think it's a very useful initiative and one that should be supported. I don't support the RSPCA in general. I think a lot of their emphasis is not balanced. But this is a great program and I'd like to see it supported. And I suggest we give them $500 towards it.
Okay,
Councillor
Ross.
Oh, I don't get a whole thing all
yet. You can go to the
side. No.
So we've got $150, $500, or $1,000. I'll go around the table again. Councillor Campbell.
Amount. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the RSPCA, but I'm not going to say I'm not going to give to them. I'll up it to 200. I'm not willing to give 1,000.
Okay, Councillor Cassidy, what would you?
Well, I know that the RSPCA and you guys have got heartburn with them for various reasons, but they also do a hell of a lot of good for us. You know, they manage issues that we're not able to manage ourselves as a council. Let's say cats, for example. That's just one example. I pointed out last council meeting. You know, they drove all the way from Launceston to deliver a cat track. You know, I think that we should support organizations who will actually do work on our behalf without actually having to have a tender or contract. So how about 250? Can we sell it for 250 and just settle it?
Okay,
I mean,
that's too big to talk for. Okay, Councillor Honour, we've got 200 and 250. What was your suggestion?
Yeah, I'm happy to go 250 there, but specifically tailored to the faith-based program. But I'm like any other councillors, I've no time to talk for the RSPCA in terms of balance.
Did you say 250?
And Councillor Horrod?
I'll go 250.
Okay, I'm trying to
draw
this motion.
Well, just take an average of everyone. 250 and more zero.
Okay.
And it comes down to
220. Okay, we're all getting very tired. So the recommendation is the council donate $250 to the Royal Society for preventing and cruelty to animals and safety safe program. Councillor Campbell moves. Councillor. Cassidy seconded. Is there anyone against that? It is carried. Are you against it,
Councillor?
Well, come on.
Are you with or without?
No.
Yes. Councillor, all right, okay. Community application rule of Ireland will. Council donate 2,000 to the Royal Ireland property and mental health program, taking time for myself within Central Highlands. Mover or what discussion?
Who does that question?
I think Julia Batchelor might be doing that one. I'm not sure. Yeah. One of the outreach workers.
I second it.
You second it, Councillor?
Yes.
So it's moved by Councillor, or second by Councillor.
It's Cassidy, actually.
Cassidy, what? Is that okay, Councillor
Honour? Julia would love to come and talk to us. Yep.
So the move by Councillor or second by Councillor.
No, Cassidy, I need 17-14.
Finally, Councillor, all right.
No, that was previous. Never mind.
So you're happy with Councillor All Right Moves, Councillor Cassidy second?
Are you happy with that, Councillor Cassidy? Okay, we're all happy. Council donate 2,000 to Rural Ireland Wells Mental Health Program.
Julia Batchelor's the person that works in the Central Highlands.
Okay, we could contact her. And Councillor Cassidy has done the shout before we finish, and I don't think there's any supplementary.
Oh, well, it's, I mean, it's okay, I just. I want to let you guys know
what
I've
done. Mm.
I mean, this is the proofing copy, so it's loose and doesn't have the final cover on it, but I've been working on this book for the past 4 years. It's an autobiography about my flying career, and I give a lot of safety advice and information for passengers, as well as pilots, wannabe pilots, professional pilots, and also a brief section about my life leading up to my career. I sent the USB drive off to in-house publishing up in Queensland, and it should be printed out shortly.
Well done,
Cassidy,
on your book, and thank you very much as well.
How many pages?
444.
444 pages. Wow. Well done. With no supplementary items, I shall now close the meeting at 1:55. Yes. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Hopefully, it will still be had pricing. Because would that work for me?
It would.
Or do you think the program will give more time?